Please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 10. If you have your Bible and are able to stand, if you would please, 1 Chronicles chapter 10, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Title of our sermon this morning is The Reality of the Spiritual Battle. And verse 1 says, Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard after Saul and after his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Melchishu, the sons of Saul. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was wounded of the archers. Then said Saul to his armor bearer, Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. So Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise on the sword and died. So Saul died, and his three sons and all his house died together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now your hand of blessings upon today's message. Lord, we ask that your will be done. And Lord, we just ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Brother Jim, were some of those women cold and wanted that window shut? Okay. Well, thank you for helping them out. Beginning at verse 7. And when all the men of Israel that were in the valley saw that, they fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead. Then they forsook their cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. It came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And when they had stripped him, they took his head and his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to carry tidings unto their idols and to the people. And they put his armor in the house of their gods and fastened his head in the temple of Dagon. May I say this, and this is a sad story. You know, there are sad words found in the Word of God, and these are some sad words. Because when a child of God falls, it brings honor to the enemies of our living God, the creator of the universe. We note that the Philistines took Saul's head and his armor to the house of their gods and the temple of Dagon. Now, I am glad that when you come into our building that you don't find the heads of people on the walls. That might be a little bit discouraging. I've told you the story when I had my first Sunday school class when I was a student in Bible college, and I taught second grade boys, and probably you remember the story. I had a boy in my class who had a glass eye, and he'd pop it out. He'd play with it, then he'd put it in his mouth, and then he'd take it out and put it back in. And you tell me how you compete with that. But I can imagine what it'd be like for these people to come into their temple and find the king of Saul, his head on the wall and his armor there, and they could say, Our God did this. Our God allowed us to be victorious. But if you would, let's read verses 13 and 14. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord, therefore he slew him. and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. He died for his transgression. I wonder sometimes if God still brings judgment upon certain people and they die because of it. I don't know. On August 21st of 2018, a letter was written by Tim Mulhoff, which was part of his Mulhoff Ministry Update. And Bob, maybe you and your wife received this letter. And it says that, and let me say this, that Tim and his wife Noreen speak often at marriage seminars. And I think he's even spoken at some here in the Detroit area. And in his August letter, he reports that he spoke at a church in Falls Church, Virginia, in Plano, Texas. But the third paragraph of the ministry update states, and I quote, "Did you realize that 25% of everything Jesus talked about had to do with spiritual battles? Yet why is the church so reluctant to discuss it? When is the last time you heard a sermon about Satan or spiritual welfare?" Now, I'll be honest that we here regularly talk about the fact that we are indeed in a spiritual battle. And I'll be honest with you all, I do not enjoy speaking against our enemy. But the fact of the matter is, our enemy seeks to bring us down. Our enemy seeks to destroy the ministry of the Covenant Baptist Church. Our enemy seeks to destroy us, and the fact of the matter is he's been working at it for over 62 years. Because the church will celebrate 62 years this coming October, next month. And even before this church became an official church, Satan was fighting against it. And he still is fighting against it. A couple of weeks ago, Dr. Fleming talked about David's battle with Goliath, and he continues his talking from there in 1 Samuel. And it talks about the fact that this battle was fought. But I find it interesting, Dr. Mark, that after verse 23 of 1 Samuel 17, where it calls him the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, that he's referred to simply after that verse as this uncircumcised Philistine, or this Philistine, or the Philistine. It's often we that give titles to people that are above what they should have. David never called him a champion and never called him a giant. In 1 Samuel 17, 45, it says, "Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Folks, we live in a society that is defying our Lord and Savior. They tell us that we can worship freely within our walls, but don't take the message outside of the walls, because then we are being intolerant of their lifestyles. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll look at verse 12, a well-known verse as we look today at the weapons as believers that we should have. And we notice here in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you catch that last phrase? Against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a battle. It tells us, "For we wrestle." Now, I remember when I was in the ninth grade at was then Sterling Junior High. It is now Bemis Junior High. I remember that we had wrestling class. Anybody have a wrestling and gym class? I remember that Dan Cloyd and I were to wrestle. And they had taught us a few moves. And I remember that I was the one that was on the mat on all fours. And he was the one above me. And he had gripped my arm. And I remember when I was said go, I grabbed his arm and I rolled. And the thing was, when I rolled and I had his arm, he was going with me. Okay? And he went with me. And I remember he quickly yelled something and I pulled back. And a couple of days later, his whole back was black and blue. That is my one glory of wrestling. If I remember correctly, that was the last time I ever wrestled. Praise the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, we are wrestling someone who has been doing it for thousands of years. Satan knows all the moves. His demons know all the moves. So if we are going to be victorious, and we can be victorious, we better put on the whole armor of God. We better put it all on. Our enemy's desire is to confuse and bewilder, to divide and create chaos, and he has done a good job. His desire, with the help of the media, is to make us afraid. To doubt everything. Fake news is all abroad. But the fact of the matter is, as long as we have the Word of God, we can be victorious. Amen. Jesus called him a thief, saying, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Let's read now Ephesians 6 verses 10 and 11. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Be strong. Folks, we need believers who are strong. I still remember those commercials for plastic bags about wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. Do you remember the commercial? And then there was the one that, you know, hefty, hefty, hefty. What type of believers do we need to be? Wimpy? No, we don't want to be wimpy. We want to be strong. And we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on, that's action. And put on the whole armor of God. And the question is, well, why should we be bothered? Why should we do this? And the answer is right there in front of us, that we may stand against the wiles of the devil, against his ways of deceiving us. Be careful. Be careful. Satan is strong. He's a trickster. It tells us in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." Do you remember what Jesus called him? Called him a liar. Don't believe the world. Verse 13. "Therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." To stand. We need to stand for the cause of Christ. We need to be accountable and used of him. "That ye may be able to withstand in" what day? Evil day. Do we live in an evil day? We live in a very lewd day. We live in a day in which children, are, especially girls, are put into clothes that are just plain indecent. We've had a number of families move into our neighborhood. And there is a girl, I don't know, she's 6, 7, maybe 8 years old. And most of the summer, she was running around in a very, very skimpy outfit. In fact, my socks contained more clothing than she wore. And I saw her, and I thought to myself, Mother, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? And my thought was, when this girl is 12 or 13, how's the mother going to tell her, you got to put on more clothes now? When she's 17 and she's a full, you know, developed, what do you do? Now, I don't normally look at Facebook because usually I end up frustrated. Okay, I just do. But I was looking at it yesterday, and I was thumbing through, and I came across Donna's nephew's wife's post. And she had a post of her 13-year-old daughter going to school the first day. And I looked at the picture, and I thought to myself, you're letting your 13-year-old daughter wear that to school? Plunging neckline. And a skirt that was about here. And one of the posts, someone answered her, and it said, is that a dress? And I thought to myself, what are you teaching a 13-year-old girl when she can go to school dressed like that? To me, it looked like some 21-year-old girl which she would wear to a bar. We live in an evil society today. Pornography is running rampant. It's destroying families. We live in a society that declares that a woman has the right to kill her children. Now, some say that abortions have gone down. And one of the reasons is money has not been funneled into Planned Parenthood quite the same way. But there are still thousands of Americans being killed every year through abortion. And then I think about evolution. Do you ever ponder evolution and ask the one question, why? Why? Why do we have two eyes where they're located? You know, they don't find any fossils of any animals with eyes somewhere else. Why would they be here? Because the divine creator put them there, right? Why do we have two ears that are here? Why don't we have three ears? Why don't we have two ears that are old and one ear that's young? Do I hear an amen there?
Amen.
Yeah. Well, Rudy and I were talking yesterday, and he asked the question, well, if life came out of the sea, well, why did it come out of the sea? Why? They had to get lungs that breathe there. Why? Just simply, why did these things happen? So why do we have evolution? To deny there's a God. We live in an evil day. An evil society. In colleges, shouldn't they be open to different thoughts? So why is it Christians are the ones they keep trying to shut down? Why is it Christians that they say, well, you can't come and give your thoughts? Why? Why are they afraid of us? Satan doesn't want us to have a voice. So do we just take it? Hello?
No,
we have a voice, don't we? We need to stand for the cause of Christ. This is what we need to do. Since the time of Jesus' crucifixion, his resurrection and ascension, the church has been under attack from the outside and from the inside. Because there are those within the church that don't want to be bothered by having standards and standing up for the cause of Christ. counterfeiters, deceivers. Jude wrote that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. For there are certain men crept in unawares, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Too many of our churches today have become entertainment centers, and they've stopped preaching the Holy Word of God. Now, I'll be honest with you. I would like the day when we filled the auditorium from, well, never the front pew, but from the second pew all the way to the walls, because pews used to go all the way to the walls back there. I would like to see that, but things have changed in our society. Today, we have to entertain people. Now, folks, if you want to be entertained, don't come hear me, because I'm not an entertainer. Okay? But the fact of the matter is, this church is going to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
For 62 years, it has been our textbook, the Word of God. And we continue to preach it because it's the right thing to do. Paul told Timothy, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Despisers of those that are good, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. Truth. I've told you this before, that time is precious. Truth is precious. Truth is more important than time. Truth. Why do they say that the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis are nothing more than stories or an allegory? Because they don't want to believe the truth. But as long as we have the truth, we can believe it. We can believe it. If everyone believes a lie, it is still what? A lie. So putting on truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Folks, there are rights and wrongs. There are things that are wrong in our society. Even if they are yelling at the top of their voice, you have to be tolerant. The fact of the matter is, truth is truth. God is righteous. And we need to put on righteousness. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Know God, N-O, no peace. Know God, K-N-O-W, know God, and you can know peace. Why does our society have so many wars? Why is there so much animosity? And why is there so much hatred? Because we don't know the God of peace. And one of the worst things that's happened in America is we've caught ourselves a Christian nation when so many people are only Christian in name and not Christian in actions. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Taking the shield. When you stand, you need to be protected. You need the shield. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he knew about Roman soldiers, and the Roman soldiers knew how to use their shields, both in fighting, but also in defense. And the shields were used to stop the arrows that were shot. And we find that we are to use it to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take the helmet. Now, I don't want to get into any major discussion here because I believe that we have on this side someone who drives a motorcycle without a helmet and someone on this side who drives a motorcycle with a helmet. Okay? But a helmet is good for protection, right? Okay. What about in our spiritual life? Do we need to protect our head? We need to protect our head. We need to protect our brain, don't we? Our thought life. Because our thought life gets us in trouble. Would you say that most sins begin with the thought? Yeah, they begin with our thought life. We need to protect our thought life. So how do we do that? We have to be careful what we allow in, correct? We have to be careful what comes into our thoughts. So what's the number way, one way that things come into our minds? Through the eye gate, right? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you what? See. Be careful. Be careful what you're watching. Be careful what's out there. Be careful. Because what comes in will come out, right? So be careful. Put on the helmet of salvation, and then we need the sword. Do you think it's important that a church uses the Word of God? I had one of our fellow church members gave me a video to watch of Joel Osteen. And once I got through the so-called musical part, he began his sermon. Spoke about 40 minutes. He used half a verse. Half a verse. Three or four words. Now, to me, folks, that's not using the Word of God. Agatha Christie will use more than that in her novels. Okay? The Word of God is important, and it needs to be important in the church. But do you need to take the Word of God with you throughout life? Absolutely. When Jesus was tempted, what did he use? The Word of God. We need the Word of God. This is important, that we use the Word. That the Word is in part of our life. It's part of our life. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember that song that we sing, get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from God's Word. The inward look, the outward look, the upward look from the old book. We need to have the Word of God. And verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Quickly, as we're running out of time, the book of Jude, and we'll begin reading at verse 20. Beginning at verse 20 in the book of Jude. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Praying needs to be part of our life. You need to pray for this one that is standing behind your pulpit. You need to pray for Pastor Stephen and the work that he does here. We need to pray one for another. But then in conclusion, Revelation chapter 12. If you're like me, you have favorite verses in each book of the Bible. And Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 is my favorite verse in the book of Revelation. Now, maybe you have a different one, and that's fine. But I would encourage you to highlight verse 11 in your Bible. And it says, and they overcame him, the him being the devil the deceiver, by the blood of the Lamb. So number one, we need to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you need to do it today. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. Donna's friend found out that her sister had died in Tennessee. Suddenly, had been dead at least, what, 3 days before they found her? At least 3 days. Well, there's no guarantee of tomorrow. So we need to make sure that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior and that we've been covered by the blood. And it says here, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They were a testimony for the cause of Christ. They would be put to death because of their testimony. But yet we need to be willing to stand for our Lord, having done all to stand. And then it ends, and they loved not their lives unto the death. What did Paul say about Demas having loved this present world? He was torn and he drifted away from Paul and his ministry. Folks, we need to be willing to stand, and our testimony should be sure. Shall we stand together even now as we have our invitation? Number 375, Just As I Am. And as we sing, you can come and pray here at the altar. If you'd like someone to pray with you, we'd be glad to do so. Just let it be known. If you're unable to bow down at the altar, you can always sit on the front pew. And dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now that you would help us stand in this evil day. Help us, Lord, to be accountable and used for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and again with thanksgiving. Amen.